than anything. And the truth is, he is better than anything that we can get for ourselves, anything that we can try to find or work for. Jesus is everything. And sometimes it just sounds like words, and it's a good prayer to ask ourselves, Lord, and ask Jesus, Lord, will you make yourself very dear to me so that you're the most important thing in my life? And that's a wonderful thing. Philippians chapter 4 this morning, Philippians chapter 4, and if you didn't get to meet my family, my wife Lauren, who is playing the piano, and then Rebecca, she's our oldest, 5 years old, and Joseph is 3. Karis and Noel are in the nursery. Karis is just about 2, and Noel is going on 2 months. I guess she's 7 weeks old today, and so brand new. And we're happy to be with you this morning. Appreciate your pastor allowing us to be here and preach the Word of God. Appreciate you being here. And this is a great day to be together in the Lord's house and to be encouraged in the Lord. And, you know, today, God has something special for us. And I believe that as we're here together with our Bibles open, our hearts open, hearing from the Lord, God can minister to us. And church is a special thing. We come together once, twice, 3 times a week, or more sometimes. We come together and we're encouraged in the Word of God. God strengthens us through His Word. We get to see other believers and fellowship. That's an important thing as well. And the name of this church, Fellowship Baptist Church, that's a very important thing. And glad you're here together today. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Hopefully you can see it there in your Bibles. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, I read it once, and maybe you have it in front of you. Could you help me read it out loud? We're going to read it one more time, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If you have a Bible, you can read it. If you don't, just listen. But together, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Together, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We do ask that you would give us your special grace, your special help. And as we look into your word, will you, Lord, open our hearts? I pray that your Holy Spirit be very present with us. Be with me as I speak. Be with us all as we listen. And Lord, encourage us in the way that we need it this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just take a moment, make sure my mic is on here. I think I'm on. Are we good? All right, excellent. Be careful for nothing. The idea of careful has the idea of care, being full of care, anxious, worried. Let me ask you a personal question. Any of you ever been worried about anything? Just anything at all? You've ever been worried? Robert Frost, great preacher of the past, just kidding. He was an author. But he said, let me see if I can get his quote right here. The reason why worry kills more people than work is that more people worry than work. Isn't that true? We're good at worrying. In fact, there have been many studies that have been done about worrying and proven that it causes tooth decay. It restricts the flow of saliva, and then acids aren't properly neutralized, and tooth decay occurs. Worry causes visual problems. Now, I wear contact lenses all the time when I'm awake and when I'm sleeping. Praise the Lord for the invention of those contact lenses you can wear when you're sleeping. That was a great thing. I don't like to take them in and out, and so I wear them all the time. Maybe I'm a worrier. I guess maybe that's why I got the visual problems. They confirmed that worriers, across many different colleges, universities, worriers get the lowest grades. That's counterproductive. So they've come up with some solutions because worry causes so many problems, including Alzheimer's, cancer, premature aging, heart disease, whatever. All these things that worry causes and contributes to. They came up with this idea or a cure. And Don Joseph Gowie came up with this. And he has a book called The End of Stress. You can probably buy it online. I would not necessarily recommend it, but it's a book. And he gives some pointers with dealing with stress. And one of his things that he gives to get you started in overcoming your worries is called the clear button. The clear button. And it's something like this. Take the palm of your hand. You imagine a button right in the center of it. Take your finger of your other hand and press it on that. Okay, the clear button here. And you think a color. And you hold it down, thinking a color, and you count to three. So think blue. One, two, three. And then you are inhaling and exhaling at the same time. You think another color, green. One, two, three. And then think red. One, two, three. And he says that nature gives us a 90-second window to basically let your worries take a long walk off a short pier. And that gives a little window to get over your worry. And, you know, hey, it's very creative. I mean, I'll have to give it to him. That's pretty creative. That's pretty imaginative. And maybe it can have a little bit of help. I'm not exactly sure. But the truth is that the Bible gives us very conclusively how you and I can deal with our worries. Right in this passage right here. And the truth is, we all have them. It's the human tendency to worry. To be full of care. There's a lot to worry about. You ever looked at your bank account and gotten a little bit worried, you know? Looked at the economy and got a little bit worried? Maybe you looked at some of your children's decisions and got a little bit worried? Maybe you looked at your vehicle. You know, you get in and you take, never done that before, and we get a little bit worried. Health problems. We get a little bit worried. And it can be a very distressing thing that happens to every one of us. Human tendency is to worry. I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes we're in a difficult situation. We go to a friend and we start telling them about it. This is what's going on. This is going on. This is going on. And they say, oh, don't worry about it. And you think, well, that's really easy for you to say. Try being in my shoes. But you know what? God, the God in heaven that created you and created me, the one who knows everything about us, even more than we know about ourselves, God knows about us. God knows about all of history. He knows what's going on right now in your life and everyone else's life. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows all about what happened yesterday. And he says, don't worry about it. Look again, if you would, at chapter 4, verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. It's a clear command. It's just God's giving us a directive. Hey, I don't want you to worry about anything. Really, God? Anything? Yeah, nothing. No worries, no exceptions. Be careful for nothing. I don't know if you remember the story in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus goes to the home of Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were great friends of Jesus. And he comes to their home. And if you remember the story, the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. And if you imagine Jesus is coming to your house, what would you be like if Jesus was coming to your house? And no doubt she was getting the bread baked and she was getting the pitchers of water on and getting the ice in the water and she was making sure the table looked just so. And before Jesus got there, she was probably sweeping the floor and she was making sure everything was neat and, you know, that horizontal surface in your house that gets all the papers on it, you know, and then when people come, you clear it all off, shove it in the drawer, and then it stacks up, you know, the next week. Getting that all cleared off and getting things taken care of just so, cumbered about much serving. She was busy. She was trying to get things just so. And she noticed something, and there was Mary, her sister. The Bible says she was sitting at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There's Jesus. He's there in the house. He's talking. And Mary's just sitting there like a bump on a log listening to Jesus. Now, I'm from a family of 10, and we had different things we had to do together sometimes, different responsibilities. And my dad is an ultimate delegator, and so sometimes he would help my mom. And after a dinner or something, he'd just start giving orders. He'd say, okay, John, you get the plates. Phil, you get the cups. Deborah, you get the food. Take care of that. Put that in dishes. Daniel, you wipe the table. And then sometimes we might have somebody missing, you know, conveniently missing. Where's so-and-so? Oh, they went outside. Oh, they're in the bathroom. Oh, they're in their bedroom. You know, oh, yeah, convenient. Just at the right time, you know, somebody's missing. You can imagine Martha, Mary, talking to Jesus while I'm doing all the work. And she comes to Jesus and she says this, "Carest thou not that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." She tells Jesus, Mary's just sitting there listening to you talk. Tell her to stop listening to you talk and come and help me. Now, that sounds a little absurd, right? But we can be the same way. Interesting what Jesus does. The scripture says this, that Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." You know, when your name gets called twice, it's kind of like, hey, Martha, Martha. And then he says this, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." You know, the truth is, between Mary and Martha, I think sometimes you and I are a lot like Martha. We're careful. We're troubled about many things. We're concerned about so many things in life. We're distressed about things. We're really tied up in knots inside about so many things. And Jesus this morning is saying your name and saying it twice, "Martha, Martha. You're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Jesus says this, "Hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." If I were to ask you right now, could you identify in your mind what you're most concerned about in your life right now? You don't have to tell anybody, just for you and God. What are you most concerned about in your life right now? We probably all could come up with something. What am I most concerned about? Hey, I got good news for you this morning. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Be careful for nothing. Corrie ten Boom said, "Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Corrie ten Boom, the Holocaust survivor, and she was part of the family that hid Jews. And maybe you've read the book, The Hiding Place, or watched the movie. That's a pretty good, some pretty good thoughts she gave there. God says, be careful for nothing. So first of all, we need to recognize God's command. Secondly, we need to accept God's alternative. I love this. If you look again at verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. God gives us an alternative. He doesn't just say, hey, quit worrying. Hey, stop it. Stop. Don't do it. He gives us an alternative. Now, I do that sometimes with my kids. I've got a toolbox, and it's an open toolbox, and I have all sorts of tools in there. I'm not really a handyman necessarily, but I've got all these little tools that I use from time to time. And there's some knives in there, you know, utility knife, one of those old kitchen knives that you can use if you really need it. Some pliers, some channel locks, hammer, you know. Some of those wire cutters, and thankfully they're kind of stuck, which is a blessing, because I think my son found them recently and they're a little too hard for him to open. But when I find my kid with one of my tools, and they're maybe a two-year-old, it doesn't always work to say, hey, give me that. Now, I wish my kids were angels and they, Father said to do something, I will right now obey. But for some reason, they're acting like me too much and they don't always obey right away. So a little trick, and some of you know this very well, a little trick is provide an alternative that's better than what they have. And so if I take a crunch bar and I say, hey, do you want a crunch bar? And they're all distracted and they're grabbing the crunch bar and I'm grabbing the pliers or the wire cutters, right? Because it's a perfect alternative. You know what? Adults, we're just kids with more teeth. That's what we are. You know what God does? He gives us an alternative. He says, don't worry about it, but I do have something you can do about it. Because this is a concern, and I understand why you're worried, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is God's alternative. Talk to me. Talk to me. You've seen this with a child before. They're so concerned about something so small. Daddy, my dolly's head is on backwards. You know, all needs to happen is just turn it around, right? And sometimes we're like that with God. God, this is what's going on. And God literally can step into the situation and turn the dolly's head around. But sometimes we live our life just so concerned, so worried, all tied up in knots. And God said, hey, don't worry about it. Just talk to me about it. Just talk to me. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, let me ask you this. Why does God need us to pray? Does God already know everything? Yeah, he does. Does God really know everything? Yes, he does. So why does God need us to pray? Well, God wants us to pray because that focuses our attention on him. It's called faith. We start trusting in God instead of trusting in how I'm going to get out of this situation. Because all of us, we try to get out of situations that are difficult. When I come to God in prayer and I say, God, this is what's going on. I need your help. That's faith. And God always responds to faith. Maybe you know this verse very well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's talking to God about it. And he shall direct thy paths. That word shall is a promise word. If you talk to God about things instead of trying to always figure it out yourself, God will direct your paths, period, the end. That's a fact. That's God's promise. I'll direct your paths. If you would go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, this is an interesting passage here. In Jeremiah 17, talking about faith. Jeremiah 17, and look in verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. He says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The idea here, making flesh your arm. If I was having a hard time getting down the stairs and one of you came up and helped me, I'd lean on your arm to get down the stairs. Okay, making flesh your arm is depending on man or humankind in some way for your difficulties or your problems. Sometimes you're depending on yourself. Hey, I'm strong, I'm smart, I can figure this out. And we think about how we can get through it. We're really depending on ourselves to get us through the problem. Sometimes we depend on other people. Wow, I'm getting into a financial. I could see this going bad financially. I'm going to go get a loan. We're depending on man. Now, is it always a problem to get a loan? No, not necessarily. But sometimes that's our first go-to is, who can I talk to that's got money? When we have some strange feeling in our elbow, we're like, oh no, I think I have climastostuchonotitis. I'm sure that's what it is. You know what? Yep. And then we search on Google, pain in left elbow. I think I'm having a stroke. You know? You know how they give these symptoms? Have you ever noticed they're all the same? They're not all completely the same. But you know, they have these symptoms, like heart rate increasing. You know what that's from? Worrying. You know, that makes the heart rate go up. Higher blood pressure, that's from worrying as well. And then some other things that happen, you're like, oh no, I've got it. You know, obviously, sometimes we do have a real physical issue that needs to be taken care of. Sometimes we don't, though, and we're just worried about it. And we think, oh, for sure, I've got this. Can I ask you this? And there's real things. There are sometimes things we are just concerned about, and we find out later, I didn't need to be concerned. But there are real things sometimes. What is our first go-to? Is our first go-to, who can help me? Who can help me about that? I don't know what's going on. Who can help me? Or is it our first go-to to go to God? God uses people to help us, and that's a wonderful thing. But our first go-to does need to be God. He says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Then he says this in verse 6 of Jeremiah 17. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. The heath is like a cactus. It's a desert plant. If you just think about a cactus, we can think about it that way. He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. God says, the person that's always looking at man, who can fix my problem? How can I get out of this? Well, you know what's going on here? Always looking at man to fix things. That person is like a cactus plant. Don't you imagine a cactus plant in Arizona? Now, Arizona is a beautiful, nice state. I'm sure I've never been there, but a lot of people live there, so it must be nice. But there's some desert out west. You know that? there's some desert. I want you to imagine a cactus just barely hanging in there in the desert. It gets just enough water to stay alive. And somehow how God made these plants, they can survive on a tiny bit of water for a long period of time. It's just barely hanging in there. And over here in Indiana, like right around planting season, we're getting all sorts of rain, right? Sometimes at the wrong time. All this rain's coming down. Rain, rain, rain. Tons of rain. Everything gets real green. The trees are, you know, all the leaves are popping back on. The grass gets growing like crazy. And that poor little cactus plant in Arizona just barely staying alive. Just barely hanging on for dear life. Just a little bit of water I got a month ago. Barely staying alive. God says, that's what you and I are like when we're constantly looking at who can fix my problems. Who can help me? I got to figure this out. Instead of trusting in the Lord. Look, if you would, at the next verse, if you're there in Jeremiah 17. In verse 7, he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green. Would you stop with me for just a moment and think about a tree planted by a river of water. And if you know how root systems are, any of you ever tried to pull out a bush out of the landscaping? You know, try to get a bush out. It's difficult. I found out how to do it. You take a Chevy Silverado 2500, you hook a chain to it, you wrap it around the base of that bush, and you put it in four-wheel drive, and that's how to get the bush out. I found that out, and it works. But if you ever try to dig out bushes or trees, there are a lot of roots. These roots go everywhere. Imagine this tree, this fruit tree, and it's planted by a river. And it's got roots going all every which way. And it's got some roots down in the river, down in where the water is. And the rain stops. And it's not raining anymore. And the river kind of goes down, but still a river. There's a lot of water there. Even though it hasn't rained for 2 months, there's still water in the river. And guess what? In the fields, the grass is brown. The trees are dying. Things are going horrible. These apple orchards doing horrible. No apples. They kind of shriveled up. But this one tree by the river has its roots down and into the river and down where there's still water, it's doing just fine. Its leaf is still green. Still got apples growing on it. You know why? Because its roots are in the river. If you look at the rest of that verse there, it says about this tree, shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall it cease from yielding fruit. You know, you and I can be like a tree planted by a river with our roots in that river. And even when the rain stops, even when things are going very difficult, you and I can be just fine. Our leaf is still green. We're still yielding fruit. God's still taking care of us because we're trusting in Him. See, God wants to bring you and bring me into a place of trusting Him about everything. Everything. Trusting Him. Talking to Him about it. George Mueller was a man, and you might know the name. He ran an orphanage, and he ran this orphanage basically on prayer. I mean, amazing answers to prayer. When they would need food, literally all these orphans with nothing to eat, and they prayed and get a knock at the door, and the bread man, for some reason, God impressed him to bring bread over for the orphanage, and here they needed it. Or the milkman whose wagon broke in front of the orphanage, and he had milk for them. Amazing answers of prayer that God did for George Mueller. He said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Anxiety is a great problem in our nation today. And I will say that faith is the answer. God says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It's simply, God, you know what's going on. I'm asking you to help me out. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, God thinks about you more than you do. God cares for you. You can cast your cares upon Him. God, this is what's going on. He cares for you. Let's talk about this prayer in Philippians, back in Philippians chapter 4, this prayer. What kind of prayer is it? First of all, he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer is simply asking. Just simply asking God for something. Supplication has to do with earnestness, earnest prayer. It's a petition, an entreaty. I want you to imagine a young boy. And he wants something very badly. And he says, please, can I have it? I think maybe we talked about this a little while ago, talking about prayer. Please, can I have it? Please, please. You never get tired of hearing please? You know, you teach your kid to say please, and then they say it so many times, you wish they didn't say it. Please, please, please. Earnestness. God, I got to have it. I need you to come through, God. Supplication. Earnestness. It's not lazy praying or passive praying. You know, you and I are good at passively praying. Lord, will you please help me fix this truck? And that's it. That's it. Kind of passive, kind of lazy about our praying. And God wants us to pray with some passion and pray with some supplication, some earnestness. You know what it does? It ensures that we're trusting in God. When I come to God about something and I pray once, well, that didn't work. Man, I guess I better figure this thing out. You know what that is? That's unbelief. And God's not going to work with our unbelief. Jesus, in one location in his earthly ministry, did no mighty works there because of their unbelief. When we stop trusting God, here comes our anxiety again. Here comes the worries because we stop trusting God. Supplication is, God, I'm still praying. The answer's not here yet, but that's okay. I'm still praying. I'm still asking you about it, Lord. Lord, I'm still coming to you. God, I know I asked you about this yesterday and earlier today, but I'm still asking you, will you? It's supplication. It's earnestness. James 5:17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He was a prophet in the Old Testament who prayed earnestly. And the Bible specifically says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He went through the same things we go through. He felt the same things we feel. And he prayed earnestly, and God listened to his prayer. Can I ask you, are there any things in your life that you've stopped praying about? They've kind of gone off the prayer list because God never answered, and so you just stopped praying about it. This morning, would you renew your prayer? Renewing your trust. Renewing your commitment to trust God about even the impossible things. Supplication. George Mueller, that I just mentioned, also said this: be assured, if you walk with him and look to him and expect help from him, he will never fail you. And this is a man who experienced that, looking to God, and God never failed him. Secondly, we see that the prayer is a thankful prayer. You know, God desires gratefulness. Gratefulness. When you give someone something, you don't expect them to give back to you, but you do expect them to say thank you. God expects us to say thank you. God, thank you. We don't have to give God his money back when he blesses us financially. We don't have to give God more health because he needs our help. No. When he gives us good health, we say thank you. God, thank you for helping me through this situation. God, thank you for the new job. Lord, thank you for providing that car. Lord, thank you. Thank you. He says to pray with thankfulness. You know what thankfulness does? Thankfulness expresses our gratefulness to God, which again is really a trust. God, you did this for me. God, I'm recognizing that, God, you are big. You are good. And God is pleased when he gets the glory from our lives. God, thank you. But also what it does is it encourages our faith to continue in God. That's right. God did this for me. Surely he can take care of this problem. When I think back and see what God has done in my life, there are some amazing things God has done. And if I think about those things, it can encourage me to trust God more. Tomorrow we leave for Tennessee, and we'll be starting a church there in Tennessee with a big team. We'll have, including our kids, we'll have 20 of us down there for about a week. And then we'll leave a small team of 4 men to continue that church and get it up and going. We'll come back up here. So I'm telling you, when you have a big team and you have a location where there's no church building, you know, there's no church there, it's really scary, honestly. Very scary, very stressful. When I think about me, I'm not a rich guy, and none of the people on my team are rich people. I'm telling you what, God has amazing ways of doing things. We started last summer, started a church in Pennsylvania. Praise the Lord. The Lord started this church. Didn't have a building. There were a few people there that were Christians and wanted a church. All right, didn't have a building, didn't have basically anything. So we're here getting ready to go to Pennsylvania, and this church here in Indianapolis contacted me and said they had a Dixie chopper riding zero turn ready to go that we could have for the church. Well, we didn't have any property. We didn't have any grass to mow with the mower. But hey, praise the Lord, we took the mower, you know. And you know, when God gives you a mower, it's kind of like, maybe he's going to give us some grass to mow, you know. I mean, just makes sense. And it was just amazing. We took that mower, put on a trailer. Another church gave us like 60 to 70 chairs for the church. They were used chairs, but padded chairs for the church. It was an amazing blessing. Had that hooked up to my truck and had this trailer of chairs and a Dixie chopper. It was great. And a church gave us a communion set. Hey, praise the Lord. Thousands of dollars that the Lord brought in to pay for everything for that summer. We headed out to Pennsylvania, bumped our way there, you know, with these chairs and Dixie chopper, and get there. Still didn't have a building, didn't have property. Parked the mower at a camp that was letting us stay there, and some good people there. We start looking around, and all of these possibilities, these buildings. We were in a tent. This is another miracle. It's a free piece of ground. This person let us use this piece of ground. It was just for sale. And I contacted the realtor. She contacted the owner. The owner said we could use it. We just got insurance on the property through my church. Free. Find out after we get there, after the guys started visiting, somebody said, oh, yeah, we used to do tent meetings on that lot. And here we were with a tent on this lot. Had no idea. It was amazing. Across from the Dollar General, which there was the Dollar General's like, you know, Walmart. It is the hub, you know, of civilization somewhat. And so there we are across from Dollar General. We didn't know where to go. This Christian man comes to our tent meeting. And he was a pastor of a church in the next town over. We didn't know the guy. He just showed up and basically told us, our church has been praying and fasting for more churches to come and for the bad churches to close, something like that. Funny guy. Wonderful help to us. He let us use their rec center that was like a youth center for our church to meet in that town where we were, not his town, but that town. Now he's renting an apartment to the pastor who's there now, this young pastor who's there pastoring this new church. He's renting it maybe $200 a month. I mean, crazy cheap. So we're doing church in his building. A couple of our guys have a place to stay in his apartment. We start looking for a building. We find this building right across from the big Catholic church. It's across the street, and it's on a street called Grace Street. What a good name for a church street, you know, Grace Street. And start looking at this property. It's a metal office building, and find out the guy who owns it is a Chinese man. Come to find out, this is the same Chinese man who had helped another independent Baptist church get started maybe 20, 25 minutes away and was renting to them very cheaply in a storefront. So we go to track this guy down, and I was having trouble with the realtor figuring out, just wasn't hearing back from her or something. So one of the team members and I, we get in the truck, we go to this guy's restaurant. And he comes to the counter after we talked with his son or someone, and this guy can hardly speak English. I mean, ever heard of speaking in tongues? We were doing it. We were speaking in tongues just to communicate with this guy. And he basically tells us, go up to the realtor's office, because he was in contract with the realtor. So he walks up there, we drive up there. And we meet. And as he and I are walking up, he's talking to me in his very broken English. He's saying, basically, he wanted to help us. He wanted to help the church. He said, you can cut the walls. And he's telling us we could do anything with the building we wanted to. You can cut the walls. He says, 1 month or 1 year, no money. 1 year, no money. Literally. I mean, this year, they're just about to start paying money like next month or this month, something like that. He gave us that building, let us do anything we wanted to it. It's renovated. It's beautiful. New floor, paint, ceiling tiles, knocked out walls. They're having church in it right now, probably as we speak, having church in that building. 1 year, no money. And I'm telling you, I don't know if I've ever said thank you so many times in a conversation. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we're sitting with this realtor and this Chinese man, my friend and I, and we're just saying thank you. Thank you. That's God. God used that man in a very special way. That's God. And when I think back of what God has done in the past, and I'm looking at a new church in Tennessee, and Lord, we don't have a building, and Lord, we don't have money, and Lord, we don't have a place for my guys to stay. And literally, since I was here last week to this week, there's been a lot of miracles God's done for this church. We're going down to start tomorrow. A lot of miracles. We got a place to meet for a couple weeks at least for a very reasonable price. We got places for our guys to stay the whole summer. I mean, God's done some amazing things. When I look back and see what God has done, I can say, thank you, God, and it encourages me to trust God for this time. We need to be thankful. Thankful. As we finish up here, would you look at verse 7? He's told us, don't worry about it. And I'll give you an alternative. Instead of worrying, will you just pray? Pray earnestly. Pray with some thanksgiving. It's trusting me, not you, to fix the problem. And lastly, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can experience God's peace. Now, peace is a special thing. And probably all of us have had peace at some point, and we've had a time in our life where we didn't have peace, and we know the difference. Peace is a very special thing. And you and I can experience God's supernatural peace. We look at what it says there. The peace of God. This is a peace that originates with God. It's the peace of God. It's the peace that Jesus had in the middle of a storm. Remember that story? He's sleeping in a boat on a pillow in the middle of a storm. And his disciples come to him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, they're being thrown about in the boat and probably think they're going to capsize and die. And Master, don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus is there sleeping on a pillow. If you think about it, put yourself in the disciples' shoes and Jesus is there and he's asleep. I mean, to me, looking hindsight on their story, hey, Jesus is not worried about this. I don't think we need to be either. Jesus is not waking up and scared. I think we'll be all right. But Jesus, he was so kind. He was so gracious. It says he rebuked the winds and the waves. And what did he say? He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And I would dare say in our lives this morning, there's some things that we need to come to God and say, so to speak, Master, carest thou not that we perish, although we know God's got it. But we say, God, will you please help us out in this situation? And he will be glad to help us out. He will be glad to give you peace this morning. He will be glad to. He says, if you come to me instead of worrying about it, you will experience the peace of God. The same peace that Jesus had. Notice he says, which passeth understanding. You ever had peace about something and people are like, I don't understand how you're so okay right now. And you kind of say, I don't understand either. Because it's God's supernatural peace. You can have the peace that passes understanding and it can be yours in your heart this morning about whatever you're so concerned about. You can have God's peace. You know, man attempts with tranquilizer pills, prescriptions, sometimes even illegal drugs, alcohol, popularity, relationships, anything to give that peace. And you know what? It never gives the true peace. It only causes more problems. But when we come to God for our worries, he gives true peace that really takes care of things. We come to God this morning with faith. God, I'm coming to you, and we experience God's peace. When I was in college, I sometimes forget what stories I tell, so if I do, just start waving at me. But I was wanting to, did I tell you the story? Did I tell you about engagement ring and all that kind of stuff? I think maybe I did. I'm confused now. That's okay, I'm going to tell it anyways. So I was worried about getting a car and getting an engagement ring, and I was in college, you know, and making no money, I had this job idea to get a job at Chick-fil-A up here in Greenwood, you know. And did I tell you this story? I did. Okay, brother, you're gonna hear it again. All right, so, and I went to my dad and I just told him my idea. You know, I could work one shift a week and make $50 that shift, and could save for a car and save for a ring. Doesn't that sound great? $50 a week. I mean, that's big money when you don't make anything. I mean, really big money. And my dad didn't think it was a good idea. He thought, you know, he was taking care of my college. He was taking care of everything, all my needs. I was living at home. he just thought, continue what you're doing. So whatever, you know, okay. So I don't know if I even had a good attitude, but next day or 2 days later, friends come to our house and they were bringing some stuff up and they brought a minivan and a Ford Fusion. And I really liked Ford Fusions at the time. And so anyways, they're coming to our house. I get home from the office. I was working at the college volunteering and I get home from the office and the father of the family hands me this dollar bill. And he says, you can keep the dollar bill or you can trade it for this set of keys. And they were Ford keys. And I didn't even pray about it. I just, you know, did the unspiritual thing and just traded them for the set of keys, took the keys. And they were not for the Ford Fusion. They were for the 1994 Ford Aerostar Sport. Remember those vans with like the torpedo front, you know? This thing had ground effects. You know, their paint was peeling a little bit, had some yellow on it, but you know, it was beautiful, had some dent over the back, you know, wheel. I'm telling you, I was so excited though. God had given me a car. I wouldn't have gotten that thing, and he left some money in there for an alignment, and he said it needed a tire, but he'd gone around the brakes and checked it out, and I never got a new tire. I crashed it before that happened. And I got an alignment, and I got in that van and started driving it in the parking lot at the college up there in Greenwood, and it was kind of gutless. I figured out the emergency brake was on. I took that thing off. It was great. It worked fine after that, and I drove that van for quite some time. We started dating in 2015, and I was over here in Trafalgar area. Her grandparents and her family get together, and I was heading to Martinsville for a youth group leaders meeting at my church. I go over to Martinsville right around Ohio Street. There's a Walgreens there, you know, and I was heading down a side street, probably characteristic Reed style, like almost late, you know, and I was zipping down the road and this car pulled out in front of me. It must have been an angel in my van with me, like yanks the wheel. I cleared the front off of that Chrysler. I mean, cleared the front enough to leave transmission fluid and everything or whatever on the road. And praise the Lord, there were four people in that car. No one was hurt. I was deeply damaged. I like bumped my knee in my hand. Just kidding. I was fine. And my van died. Police officer came up to me. He says, yeah, they build these things like brick chicken coops. Well, that brick chicken coop never drove again. It was done. But it wasn't my fault. The accident wasn't my fault. And so that girl's insurance company bought my van for like way more money than it was worth. And I bought an engagement ring with some other money too. I worked hard too. But you know what? God can take care of things a lot better than we can. God gave me a car, crashed my car, gave me a ring. We drove her car after we got married. I borrowed my dad's van in the meantime. God can take care of things. Whatever your problem is this morning, it's not too big for God. And God simply says this, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just talk to me about it, and you'll have my peace. Lord, this morning, help us to have your peace. Lord, I ask that you would